name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This night before Jesus died was a very special time. Jesus had this with his 12 disciples, and it was on this occasion that Jesus took some bread and broke it and said, "Take and eat," and what they were taking and eating was broken. Sign of his body broken for them. And then he took some wine and poured it out and said, "Drink this, it is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins." And Jesus said, "You're to do this to remember me." And so we do this in our worship on a regular basis. But as well as doing this, Jesus had a number of things he wanted to say to his disciples for this last time that he was with them on earth. And so one of those really important things was the new commandment that he gave them, that they love one another. But another that we heard in that reading in verse 16, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." And you might think I'm wrong in this, but I think just like his command, love each other, was not just a command for the disciples then, but as a command for all Christians, I think this particular teaching to his disciples, "I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last," I think that this applies to all Christians. And I think that there are maybe several reasons why Jesus might have decided to say this on this last night before he died. Because his disciples have been really resistant to the message he'd been giving them that he had to die. But at this very late stage, it had finally sunk in, he was going to die. And they were just thinking that everything they had been doing with him was all going to come to an end. If he wasn't there, that was it. It was the end. And here he is saying that he hadn't really chosen them just to be a support group for him, so that once he was no longer there, there was no need for them. Their purpose had come to an end. He's saying, "I have chosen you, and I've appointed you to do some really important things for me." So he's saying, he'd chosen and appointed them to bear fruit. And that fruit was going to have a lasting impact for God's kingdom, a lasting impact on other people. So I think that God is calling you and calling me to bear fruit for him that will have spiritually positive results, and those results are going to last. Now, if you or I were to be asked by someone, "How would you like to do something really important that is going to alter other people's lives for good, real good?" How would you feel about that? Well, if someone said, "You, that sounds fairly good." However, we might also think that we are not up to that, and that maybe these things that Jesus is saying is for people who are better than what we are, or nicer than what we are, or more talented than what we are. But Jesus said to his disciples, "I chose you. I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit." And the person who is saying these words is Jesus. We know from other things written in the Gospels that Jesus was never deceived about people, never mistaken about people. He knew, for example, when someone was just full of their own importance. He also knew when someone was trying to trick him. But he also knew when people who had made a bit of a mess of their lives were actually genuinely reaching out to God. And so this Jesus who could see into people's hearts and who knew exactly what it was that made a person tick, this Jesus said to his followers then, and I think he says to us now, I have chosen you to be a fruit that will last. And I think he's saying to us, you can do it, and I want you to do it. I want you to bear fruit that will last for all eternity. So this is like saying Jesus has actually a lot of confidence in us. We have doubts maybe as to whether or not we can do this, but we can trust Jesus. And Jesus is gentle and he is kind. And he was also really consistent in how he took people one step at a time. And so, for example, he does not ask us one day to learn our times table, you know, learning at a very basic level, and the next day say to us, now it's time for you to get a law degree. He just doesn't jump us like that. He takes us as we are and asks us to do things for him which he has decided that we can do. And whatever he asks us to do, he promises us the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit to make sure that we are able to do those things in the way that he wants them done. And when we do, as he says, the results are very, very good. People are comforted, or people are healed, or people are enabled to do things they could not do before. Good things happen when we do what he says. And yet still we could doubt whether we could actually bear very much spiritual fruit that would last forever. And yet when we think about it, you know, that Jesus had an absolute habit of asking his disciples to do things that were impossible to do. And so on one occasion, this crowd had been with Jesus all day long, crowd of about 5,000 people, we're told, and they were hungry. And he turns around and says to a couple of his disciples who were in the front row, says, feed these people. And they couldn't do it. But he was putting an expectation in front of them that he wanted them to be able to do things that, humanly speaking, are impossible. And just how this can happen, he explained in a conversation we have recorded for us in John chapter 2, where he is having this conversation with a Pharisee, Nicodemus. And so, amongst other things, Jesus says to Nicodemus, you know, flesh gives birth to flesh, but it is the Spirit who gives birth to spirit. And he is explaining to Nicodemus that the kind of follower that God wants is a person who has to be born a second time. They have to be born of the Spirit of God. And his message to Nicodemus really was that human beings actually cannot do the things that God wants done. God's work can only be done by the Spirit of God. And I think it is the case that the Spirit of God does not just wait sitting on his hands until he sees that we are ready to act. The Holy Spirit comes along and gives us a little prod. He's nudging us. He has something he wants to say to us. He has something he wants us to do. And one of the consequences of this, I think, is that committed Christians often feel out of their depth. And I think it is the Holy Spirit who guides us into that kind of place. Because when we feel we are out of our depth, we are much more likely to pray to Jesus, please help me. I don't know what to do. Please fill me with your Spirit so that whatever it is you want to happen here will happen. And when we pray this kind of way, you know, Jesus always, he absolutely always answers our prayers for help. So in a way, I think we are blessed when we are out of our depth. If we pray to Jesus for his answer in that situation, rather than just pushing ahead with our own ideas on things. Only the Spirit of God can do the work of God. And if we are to bear spiritual fruit that will last, we need Jesus to guide us and fill us with his Holy Spirit. Well, I was a young adult when I came to know Jesus as the one who died for me and who loved me and who was alive. And I was at the time struggling with some issues in my life, floundering a bit. And I came to Jesus, and then I started going to this church that was hugely supportive, and I felt really, really happy and very good in that place. And after about 6 months of feeling happy and good, the leader of one of the Bible study groups I went to asked me to take the study the following week. So I prepared for that study in much the same kind of way that a teacher might prepare a lesson for a class or something like that. And it did not go very well. And one of the things that didn't go very well was that I talked too much. And at a certain point in the session, one of the group couldn't stand it any longer and interrupted and said, "We didn't come to listen to your ideas, we came to discuss." And so that was a bucket of cold water, wasn't it, over my enthusiasm. But the leader of the group asked me to lead the group again. And so the second time round, I kind of took on board this, that people had come along to discuss, and I was really careful to make sure that we looked carefully at the Bible passage, and now I had some questions so that they could discuss their ideas on that passage, and the group went a heap better. And then, after that, the leader of that group said, "You should lead a Bible study group next year." And I said to him, "You know, I've only been a committed Christian for less than a year, and so I have really quite limited Christian experience, so I'm not sure it's appropriate or right for me to be leading a group." But he insisted I must do so. So I did, and I still had big issues that I was working through in my life, and yet somehow or other God used that group to help the people who were going there. And I want to say I took that group only because this person had insisted. I was being nudged, you could say, by the Holy Spirit to do something that, left to my own devices, I would not have done. And in spite of my limitations, the Holy Spirit used that group to produce spiritual fruit. So I'm wanting to say that I think Jesus calls every one of us to bear fruit that is going to last for all eternity, and that fruit will only come about as a result of the Holy Spirit moving and acting. But that as you and I ask Jesus to guide us and empower us and to act in the situation we are in, I do think he is faithful to answer that kind of prayer. And I think God is really pleased when we pray that kind of prayer. Other people will be blessed as a result, and God will bless us also. So may that happen for each of us, and I'm going to pray. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you are not some kind of abstract God who just sends down good ideas from heaven, but that you're alive, you're real, you're our friend, you're with us, always trying to guide us more than we're ready to listen, always more ready to help us than we are to be helped. So we pray that you will pour out your spirit and show us and nudge us towards those things that you are wanting us to do. And may you be active in those situations, and may there be good fruit that will be a blessing to others and last for you for all eternity. Amen.